Okay.
It tastes good.
One, two, three.
It's amazing how we still have to count down every time.
Sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious.
What do we have here today?
Pouring out nicely. That looks like a good beer. All right. Okay, well, welcome everybody to another episode of Pewter Pints. I am Jason Imbrogno, one of your hosts, accompanied by my brother, David Imbrogno. If you're first time tuning in, we run a podcast where we do a quick little beer review, and then we talk about the construction industry, mainly our industry, the home reno industry, which is something that I think is very popular out there. We're better looking than the Property Brothers, but we don't have as good of a TV show, so this is, you know, pretty much where we're going with this. So
I hope Jonathan and Drew don't ever see this.
They will not. Okay,
they
so
they do check our posts.
Yeah, so maybe they'll tune into a couple of Pewter Pints podcasts. But until then,
wouldn't that be good to get them on here one day?
That would be amazing. Could you imagine those two dinosaurs? And by dinosaurs, I mean just tall guys coming on here. They're not old, but no, they're great guys too, though. Yeah, that'd be awesome to get them on the show for sure. That'd be crazy.
Absolutely.
All right, so we are drinking Mad Tom today.
It's a Muskoka Brewery. It's an IPA. As you can see, that is a not quite an amber. It's in between a nice light beer and your amber. It's a mid amber, I would call it, I guess. And as far as tasting notes go, it's an IPA, so it's going to have that citrus to it.
It's got that weird like battling of bitter and sweet, eh? Like, when you first drink it, it's like, whoa, bitterness. And then you finish it off, and it's like, oh, it's actually pretty sweet and fruity.
Yeah, it has a strong hop right off the bat.
Yeah.
Hop off the bat, that's funny.
Was that a pun?
But it has this dry component to it, though. Right? It's not refreshing.
I never understood that when people are like, oh, like, it's a dry wine, or it's a dry beer. Like, how? It's wet. It's a liquid. How can a liquid
dry
be dry?
Is not, it doesn't. It doesn't talk about the you know, liquid itself. It's more about the tannin component of it. So when you drink a wine, so, you know, speaking about wine specifically, you know, a dry wine is most bottles of wine is a dry wine. A sweet wine is the opposite to dry. And so sweet is like your ice wines and ports and stuff. So when you're mentioning dry, that's more it denotes tannin. And this, I feel like, you know, has that, you know, like when you drink tea and you get that feeling in your mouth, that dryness in your mouth, that's tannin.
Okay.
You don't understand?
No. I'm not as distinguished as you. I don't know. You read more books than I do, so.
Okay, well, whatever. This is a beer that has a bit of tannin to it, okay. And it has like that tea. And you know what? It almost has like it has that low floral quality to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like a tea.
Yeah. Okay. The floral thing I get. Yeah.
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 Anyway. Okay. So Mad Tom, IPA. This is
one of the I feel like this is like the OG of the high alcohol content IPAs.
How much is this? Yeah. This is 6.4%. Another strong beer. They actually have a stronger version of this. It's called Twice as Mad Tom, and that's like 8.2%. That's a dangerous.
You have one of those, and you go to bed. That's what that beer is for.
That's a hell of a time. But Mad Tom, delicious classic, I would say, for Ontario standards. Muskoka Brewery, we haven't really spoke about them as a brewery, and they're
the ones who actually got me into craft beer. I didn't like craft beer until Muskoka came around.
Me too. Yeah, Detour just tore that wall down.
Yeah, Detour is great
because introduced us to flavors that we were never used to.
Yeah,
and then we graduated to Mad Tom and had a few good nights on Mad Tom, and then went from there to Twice as Mad Tom, and that kind of just set the stage for a new beer drinking experience. Yeah. So I have the same experience as you. Absolutely.
I'm not sure what that camera is trying to tell you, but I'm trying to tell you something.
movie recording has been stopped automatically for no good reason. But, so.
So, we're done with the beer? Good beer?
Yeah, good beer. Try it if you haven't
Delicious
tried it.
Delicious beer. It's Muskoka, check them out. All their beers are good. The I think our first episode was with the Muskoka Craft, right?
Yes.
No. Was that first? No, it was the Cream Ale.
Yeah, we started with Grolsch.
And then Cream Ale.
We did the Cream Ale second, yeah.
Yeah, I was upset about that one. Okay, so let's do a little recap. Yeah, so last week we talked about the different types of contractors, right? You got your sole pros versus your corporations, and not that there was a problem with either of them, but we just figured we would, you know, talk about the differences between the two. You know, so we talked about, you know, general contractors, talked about design build firms, we talked about, you know, your two guys in a pickup truck kind of thing.
I feel like we got a little... The structure of it got a little confusing. That was a very off-the-cuff conversation.
Yeah.
And I think we should probably clarify for other people, everybody watching and or listening. We were clear about the four different distinctions of, you know, the four different types of construction professionals,
mm-hmm.
right? So sole proprietors and or partnerships, whatever, just small, not incorporated companies. And then out of the incorporated companies, we have the general contractors. We have the third-party project managers,
yep,
and which could be an architect or whatever, and then we have the design build firms,
right.
And we also touched on the structure of general contracting companies and how they handle their operations.
Right.
So there's three different ways that a general contracting company handles their operation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, because technically a design build firm is just a general contractor. It's just like a prettier name, if you think about it.
Well, it's taking that next step and adding the design aspect, having a design arm built into that company.
Right.
So that's the difference. So it's a little confusing because I felt that's where the video fell off the rails a little bit, was we were discussing... the structure of a general contracting company and also sort of applying that talk to the design build a little bit. And that's because a design build company is a general contracting company.
Which is what
it just has a design arm to it.
Yes.
And so in this episode, we're going to talk about what a design build firm really is, what the benefits of working with them are, and... You know, hopefully enlighten everybody a little bit more.
Yeah, so I mean, the reason we became a design firm, a design build firm, is mainly because our mother, Mary Ellen, who is now our design lead, would design all our projects anyways.
Yeah, so we were straight up operating like a general contractor. We called ourselves a general contracting company, and that's what we were. But
we had some in-house operations, and we had some subcontractors.
Yeah,
we had a nice blend.
Yeah, so... To go back to that, to reference the last video, there's the three different types. There's the guys who they subcontract the entire project. There's guys who in-house the entire project. And then we are a blend, which are operations, that would be the general contracting side of the business. And naturally, the clients would come to us and they would try to put they would look to us for design advice, right? So we'd end up heavily involved in the design process regardless, right? We'd bring in an architect, we'd do all these things, and we'd end up managing a lot of the design process. We would be that liaison between the client and the architect. And, you know, our mother was picking all of the materials. She was, you know, acting in that capacity regardless.
Yeah.
And so over the years, we kind of just fell into this. We had done a project where we brought in Erpinia and we did a ton of their cabinetry throughout this one project. And we ended up developing a decent relationship, or I should say our mother, Mary Ellen, she ended up developing a fairly good relationship with the owner of the company. And he had approached her and said, why don't you become a dealer? And so like these things just, we didn't seek this out. We just kind of naturally progressed into this.
Yep.
Into this arena where more and more we took on more of the design and more of the design. And really, I think it ends up being advantageous, right? We've had comments from clients before, like, you must just clean up because your process is so neat. right? And
is that a pun? We clean up because we're so
I didn't
neat.
Mean it. I didn't mean it.
This guy's a liar.
No, but the process is really very smooth for clients, right? Yeah. It's very...
Well, I guess because that's how it began. It was always... Because all we ever cared about was making it easier for the clients, right?
Yeah.
And we always thought that if we provided a clean, easy service for the clients, we would get more business. And it turned out that that's the way it worked. And the more we tried to provide that one-stop shop, we ended up becoming a one-stop shop. So
yeah,
it's funny how that kind of just fell in there. Okay, so as I take a sip of my beer here, what are the benefits of working with a design build firm then?
Like for the client, I would say the biggest difference and the biggest benefit is the fact that you get to cost engineer the project right in the very beginning.
Which is important.
It is, because a lot of times, you know, we've seen people, they spend a fortune with an architect or a designer and they put this great plan together, but that plan and the, you know, has a cost associated with it to build it, right? So if you're going to build this thing, who should you be talking to? Obviously, you have to tender it out. You have to figure out who's going to build this and what that cost is. For us, when you're dealing with a design build firm, our process is, here's what we're thinking conceptually for this project. And here's the number of what we're, you know, accurately assessing this project to cost. Right? It's the same process that we use with the Property Brothers. Right? When we did Forever Home, those episodes, like, I would go in and help them scout for people, and I would have to give them a budget by the end of the day as to what the general ballpark of that project was going to, where it was going to come in, minus 10,000 plus 10,000 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows people to make a decision very quickly, an educated decision, whether they want to even continue to pursue this project.
Yeah, no.
Right? Whereas sure. If you're just engaging an architect or a designer or even the other end and just engaging the contractor, with the contractor, you're missing the design. With the designer and our architect, you're missing the construction. We blend those two worlds together. Yeah. And that's why we're so valuable. And that's our true, you know, competitive advantage, really, yeah. is the fact that we can get you to whatever number you want to be at very easily, right? And we can figure out, you know, how do we start the process? I start with a spreadsheet. Right, we talk about their project at length. We determine what you generally want. We'll give you a general ballpark of what that's going to cost. And, you know, if we have to, if it's a larger space, we'll take measurements and make sure that it's fairly accurate, right? We're talking within that $10,000-$20,000 range depending on the size of the project.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a problem with that, it's very easy to just change the numbers on the spreadsheet. Right, you haven't invested in drawings. You haven't spoken to anybody about anything except for generally this is what you're talking about. So it's a very loose conversation, right? People, you know, we invest a little bit extra time, and what do we ask for it? Nothing. We're not taking a retainer at that point in time.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's the biggest benefit of dealing with a design build firm, and that's the. You know, just the blending of the two worlds, the design world and the construction world, and having that cohesiveness into the package. It just really helps streamline, you know, the realities versus the wants and dreams.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a perfect vertical integration. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like they're meant to be together. I mean, if you think about it, you go to buy a house. You know, when you go to buy a house, you walk into their showroom and they say, you know, here's a, you know, where does it start? It starts with the design. You pick your lot and then you pick your design, the design of your house.
But that design has a cost associated with it.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. For the most part, unless you're specifically asking your architect to do this, they're not going to be designing the project with your budget in mind. right? They're going to design whatever you tell them to put on that piece of paper.
That's true. Yeah, you say, I want to blow out the back of my house by 40 feet, and I want windows, you know, 25 feet each, and that doesn't, you know, mathematically make sense, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the architect will design, yeah, whatever you want and whatever you tell them you want, but if you don't say to an architect, I want to do an addition onto my house, my budget is $350,000. If you don't tell him that, then he doesn't know how to design your layout properly, right?
Yeah, I mean, because you can vary, like, we've priced additions where
it came in at 600 grand, the guy's budget was 340. Remember that? Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, it's like you...
Here in Mississauga, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then they end up in trouble because they designed something, they spent good money on good plans,
yeah,
that were out of touch with reality,
yeah,
and then what's their option? They end up either project managing the, you know, taking it on themselves,
to save 15%.
Or they're going to end up underpaying somebody who didn't know what the hell they were doing. They put together a number that, yeah, I'll do it for that price.
Yeah.
And then the problems end up showing their ugly head down the line.
Yeah.
So that's where the nightmare scenario comes in. And I feel like as a design build firm, we're fully equipped to dispel any of that entering the equation.
You know, design is like the most important part to the beginning of any project. If you even look at like a hospital or a condo, subdivision, whatever, these big, big dollar projects, you'll see a sign on the property sitting there for months, if not even 2-3 years before construction even starts. Why is that?
Planning.
Exactly. When we first sit down with our customer or our client and they're ready to go, like, it doesn't matter, like, money's not an object, whatever, we're just going to do this renovation. By the time they sit down with our first meeting to the time we start tearing apart their house, what's the time like?
3 to 6 months.
Right?
Yeah. There's a lot of planning. And
there's nothing worse than starting a project without a plan. You can have a plan in your head, but if it's not all decked out on paper, that's what I think is great about a designer, right? Or having a pre-designed project designed properly, is everything's spelled out in black and white. You know exactly what you're doing right from the very beginning. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of doing a Property Brothers episode, is you get...
Oh, we get to work with these awesome designers.
Killer designers.
And they're just bloodhounds. They're on the trail. Anything that's supposed to be happening...
Well, their pencils are sharp. Yeah. Those pencils are sharp. And it's great to work with. You don't have any... If you have a question, you pick up the phone, you talk to the designer... She answers your question or he answers your question and that's it. It's done.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I feel like the other part of it too, a lot of people overlook the cabinetry, right? It kind of comes in later where they're focused on the contractor, they're focused on the design of everything, but it's very important to be incorporating your kitchen. And I feel like a lot of people, they just... We'll probably do another episode on this.
Well, yeah, because you think about your main floor renovation is built based around your kitchen. It's because I want to do my kitchen. Oh, but I want hardwood from the front door to the back door. I don't want tile anymore. Well,
but see, that's our...
We gotta redo the trim, and then we got to do this, and we got to do that, right?
But that's where we really shine, because we're also bringing in the cabinetry as a result when we're putting our budgets together. We're including the cabinetry cost, right? We know how big the kitchen is. We've done so many of these things, and that's something that we're going to flesh out. We're going to flesh that out right in the very beginning, right? What kind of kitchen are you comfortable having? What do you really want? Do you want that, nice looking, decent quality on the inside, or do you want something truly special, like a walnut dovetail interior drawer, right? Like, there's... So many different options, but we're able to build that in right in the very beginning because that's a part of our package.
Yeah.
Right? Where if you're segregating everything out, you're dealing with all these different people, it makes it a hell of a lot longer of a process.
Well, that's the thing, too. I remember when we used to work with, you know, separate kitchen companies. And it'd always be like the kitchen company, like, you know, when you're renovating your house, you got a budget. Say your budget's 80 grand. So now you got a kitchen company in a construction company who's trying to fish, you know, that budget out, where the construction company wants more and then the design company wants more. If you're dealing with a design build company, or, you know,
that has cabinetry
in house, we're not trying to fish for, you know, you don't have two different companies pulling at you from either side trying to take all your money.
Yeah.
When you have a one-stop shop, we're just here to allocate your funds in the best way possible.
Yeah.
To, you know, expand your budget as much as possible and get you the best renovation for you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I know we fell into becoming a design build firm, and
but it just, I think, makes we kind of
obviously, in the last video, I really didn't want to be biased towards it, but I just...
We are biased towards it.
Yeah, but we ended up there for reasons. Yeah. And I hope that this video kind of, you know, breaks down those barriers and lets you know, like, why we feel that way. Why we feel it is truly advantageous and beneficial to the client. So, anything else you want to touch on?
I think the biggest question that we usually get whenever we're pricing anything, even if it's like a potential client, hey, how much per square foot to do this? How much per square foot to do that? Okay, fine. That's an easy question for a guy like me or Dave to answer, or any construction guy for that matter. But what about the additional cost that comes with working with a designer?
That's okay. Yeah. So we should make a distinction between working with a design build firm and working with a designer.
Yeah.
Because a design build firm can offer design, like interior designer services, but you pay for it the same way that you would with a normal designer, right? It's just the design build firm will have that as an option inside of it. But as far as cost goes, a designer will be like an hourly fee, right? You're going to pay hourly for that service. And what do you get from working with the designer? I know I said we'll do another video on what it's really like working with the designer. We'll break that down entirely. But you're going to pay hourly. There are benefits to paying them hourly that offsets that cost as you're making your purchases. So they're two different things, right? You have your design build. The design package, putting together what you're going to construct, does not necessarily require the services of an interior designer.
True.
They're two different things. The interior designer can help you choose your surfaces and, you know, pick your products, pick your paint colors, all that stuff. We have that in-house regardless. That's just a part of our package, right? Mm-hmm. That's built into our pricing.
With working with Pewter. That's what you get.
Yeah. Working with an interior designer, if you want to take it to that next level, that's when you're picking furniture, you know, draperies, all that stuff. But that's that next level. That's what the designer is really for, is, you know, the cohesiveness of the entire package. And, you know, we've put backsplashes in that we would never choose. They're cheap products, but they look fantastic as a part of an entire cohesive package. So that's what the benefit you really get from working with the interior designer. And it's just that next level service. It's not necessary. Most of our clients don't end up needing that service. But if you really want to elevate your finished product, that's how you go to that next level.
Definitely.
And as far as cost goes, so obviously it's hourly for the interior designers. They'll charge for, you know, kind of like a lawyer. Their fee structure is kind of like that. And then the design package for your renovation project or whatever it is, home build, renovation, addition, that's more of a flat fee.
Yeah.
Right? For the most part.
No, you're dealing with your actual drawings.
Yeah, architects, engineers, right. Permit, variances. There's, if you're doing an addition, you're going to have to leave, you know, securities, sureties with the municipality. So there's all those costs. And that is probably, if you're doing an addition, you're probably about $10,000 in total on that whole process. If you're doing a custom home, Before you can put a shovel in the ground, you're spending about $50,000 to build a house in Oakville. And if you're doing a normal renovation with some structural alteration, you're probably looking at from $5,000 to $7,500 on that process.
Yeah.
Right. So those are very standard fees. They're capped, and then your design, depending if you're, if you like everything that somebody, you know, you trust your designer and you're happy with everything, you know, that's a capped, you know, not capped, sorry. It'll be a cheaper process. If you're very picky and very opinionated, you'll end up spending a fortune with your interior designer. But I would say that's how we would break down the cost for everybody's intents and purposes.
There you go.
Anything else?
I know it's a tough time and nobody really knows where things are going, but I think right now, if you were ever looking to renovate your home, I think now is the time to probably start the planning process, right? Now would be the time to call your designer.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've shut down operations out of respect for all the guys, you know. Our crew, they
have,
you know, we had a period of time where we kept it, where we shut down all external visitation, and we saw each other, we kept going, and then it got to the point where, you know, we kind of realized that this is going to be a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys, they couldn't see their girlfriends, they can't see, you know,
their grandmothers
family and stuff, so yeah. It's like, we shut it down so that they could go into quarantine and be able to go see these people. But at the end of the day, you know, the large majority of your construction firms out there are going to be shut down right now. And now is a fantastic time to do that 3 to 6 months worth of planning, mm-hmm. and make sure that you get everything ironed out. And then, you know, when this lifts, you're ready and able to pull triggers and get things done quickly. So I feel like the construction season this year is going to be fast and furious. And now's the time to plan for these things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it for now. I think that's it for today.
That's a good little Friday night.
Good little Friday night. The Mad Tom's got us feeling pretty all right.
A little mad.
A little mad. Okay, so probably cut that part out, but... thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of Pewter Pints. Check us out on Instagram at pewter.build. My name is Jason. This is David.
Thank you, Muskoka Brewery, for making such a fantastic little IPA.
Yeah, not a sponsor, but maybe next time.
Yeah.
And
we just do it for the love of the beer.
For the love of the beer, yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we're not really fully operating, but we're still fully operating. You know what I mean, right? So cheers to that. Guys, don't forget to like the post, subscribe to the page, leave some comments if you got some comments, or, you know, you got some questions. We're here to answer them.
Thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks for watching, and salute. Have a good one.
Cheers.